for himself the land for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And so he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This is, like I said, a familiar story to many of us. But what we also see here, as we dig a little bit deeper into the story, is we see a few things that Abraham did in his family life and what he did for his son Isaac. Now, fathers, I want to suggest to all of us this morning that if we are not only going to be present in our families, but if we are going to be godly fathers, we have to stand up and we have to make some promises to our wives, and we have to make some promises to our children. And most importantly, we have to make some promises to our God. I'm going to share with you three promises that I believe Abraham made. Maybe he never said them out loud, but he made deep in his heart. And I want to share with you these promises that we need to make ourselves. And maybe you make them in your mind. Maybe you sit down with your wife and your children today and you say, "I haven't been fulfilling my role as a father." I'm going to make to you these three promises today. I'm not saying these three promises will cure all problems. I'm not saying this is going to make you a perfect dad. In fact, you can look at the front of the bulletin for ideas on we're not going to be perfect. But I do think these three promises need to be made. One thing I saw in Abraham, one thing we need to tell our families, we need to say, "I promise to always love and honor God first." I think Abraham decided that long ago. You look even before this story where Abraham, he rose and he went to the land that God told him to go. And you look at the great faith that must have taken. But I think deep in his heart, long before this story ever happened, he made a promise to always love and honor God first. And then you get to Genesis 22. And you have Isaac, grown up. He was the promised son. The text tells us twice in there that he was Abraham's only son, which is interesting, and I don't know if you caught this while reading, he was not Abraham's only son. He had another son, Ishmael. But this was the son of promise. This was the one that God had promised long ago. And now finally, after years and years of waiting, here is his son, Isaac, your only son. And here's what I want you to do with that son, Abraham. I want you to take him up on a mountain, the mountain that I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. What a task given. Now, fathers, let me ask you a question. I know the answer for me, but you need to answer this for yourself. If you heard a voice, if you heard God's voice tell you to take your son, your oldest son, maybe your only son, take him to a place I'm going to show you, travel a couple days, a three-day journey, by the way, and kill him in honor of God, how many of you would be ready and willing to do so for God? I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure I could sacrifice any of my three sons, let alone an only son. The son of promise. But did you notice what the text tells us? That after God tells him that this was his task, this is what he had to do, Abraham in verse 3 rose early in the morning. He wasted no time. He didn't try to delay. He didn't hope, maybe hope that God would come back the next morning and say, "I made a mistake, don't sacrifice that son. I'll give you another son. You can sacrifice that one, but this one, your only son, keep him." That's not what Abraham was doing at all. He rose early the next morning. He woke up his son Isaac. And you know what it made him do? He says, "You're going to help me chop the wood." He split the wood for the burnt offering. They arose and they went to the place that God told them. They started their journey bright and early the next day. Because deep down in Abraham's heart, although this was going to be painful and this was going to be horrible, he knew first and foremost to always love and honor God first. And if this is what God expected of them, then he was going to fulfill it. And so on the journey, they went. Even getting to the point where he had to bind his own son. Sometimes it's difficult for me to make random if you realize stand in the corner. Let alone try to bind them up. Never done that. remember when you saw that? Laying him down on that wood that you chopped a couple days ago. Going as far as even taking the knife out, holding it up, ready to come down, only to be stopped at the last second. Here's an important lesson, Father. Here's what Abraham showed his son Isaac that day. Abraham made a decision early on, and he made one thing perfectly clear. God will come first, no matter the cost. Even if it meant giving up his only son. God will come first. I don't know what type of situations you've ever had to be put into. And I don't know what the future will hold for us. But if there is one thing we can promise to our children, we can promise to our spouse, if there is one thing we can show them, if there is one thing we can give them in life, if they learn nothing else from you, have them learn this one principle. God will come first, no matter the cost. If there's a sporting event, if there's homework to be done, if there's school projects, whatever it is, God comes first. If there's work on Sundays or Wednesdays, God comes first. God has to come first. If there's another way, so many times in our life, we want to take revenge. We want an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But what would God say? How would God tell us to treat others? How would God tell us to act in certain situations? What would God have us to do? One thing needs to be made abundantly clear in our families. God will come first. I'll never forget. I wanted to play travel soccer. I was big into soccer coming up. I wanted to play travel soccer. I even went and tried out for the team. I don't know if I made it or not. But the decision was made, if they travel on Sundays, we're not going. We eventually, I think, came to the decision that it was too much traveling to go too far and maybe miss services. But there was one point made in our family, if we're traveling on Sundays, we're not going. If it means that we're going to be withheld from worshiping God, we're not doing it. No matter the cost. It might mean that we look funny to other people. It might mean we look weird. It might mean we lose friends. It might mean doing things God's way is going to make us look so completely different and so completely wild. But God comes first. Abraham showed that to his son that day. But Abraham also did something else for his son. Not just that day, but you can see the seeds of this next promise were planted long before this event happened. But fathers, we have to make a promise to teach them how to worship God. I promise, we have to tell our families, I promise to teach you how to worship God. Did you notice what Abraham did and what Isaac said along the way as they were walking toward the mountain together? As they were journeying along, Isaac takes a look, and he notices the wood, and he says, Father, I see the wood, I see the wood for the offering, I see the fire for the offering, but what I don't see here is the lamb, is the animal. Where is that? That tells me that long before that moment in Genesis 22, Abraham did his job as the head of that house, as a man of God, as Isaac's father, to teach him how to worship God. This was not a new concept to Isaac. He knew what a sacrifice was. He knew what they were going to do. He knew that they were journeying to sacrifice to God. Abraham had laid the foundation of worship in his family. And so Isaac was starting to put the pieces together. I think we do a good job of getting kids in the door. At least I know I've been guilty of this. We make sure we're here to worship. We make sure we're at services. We make sure, hopefully, we're here on time. We make sure that they know Sundays and Wednesdays, that's for God. That's for Bible class. That's for worship services. And as long as we get them in the door, the church can take it from there. Mothers and fathers, especially. Worship and worshiping God is not a Sunday and Wednesday activity. It is a daily activity. To wake up every morning and teach them to thank God for a new day. to sit together at the breakfast table or the dinner table and talk about what God has done for them that day. To ask them to talk about what God will do for them, what they need from God. Teach them to go to prayer. Teach them to sing or hum a song in their mind. Teach them to praise and worship daily by letting their light shine. Treating others with kindness and respect. Yes, what we do here within these four walls is worship God. But this is just an hour and a half of our day this morning. Maybe an hour later tonight. And maybe, if you're feeling good, maybe an hour on Wednesday too. If that's all the worship that we've taught our children to do, we have failed miserably as parents. God expects daily worship. Daily sacrifice. I believe what Abraham did was he taught his son to worship God. But here's the key thing that I think we see from Abraham. Abraham gave Isaac an example worth following. Abraham, he wasn't perfect. Let's make that one thing very clear. He was not perfect in many of his deeds. In fact, we have things in Scripture that tell us he lied and he tried to hide certain facts about his wife Sarah. And there were things that Abraham did that were not perfect. He took matters into his own hands when God's timetable was not working fast enough. There were things Abraham did he was not proud of. But Abraham did give Isaac an example worth following. Worshiping God. Talking to God. Following God's will daily. I think of the stories that Abraham must have told Isaac as Isaac was growing up about all the years before. All those years he waited. All the times he spoke to God. All the times that he was able to speak face to face and hear God's voice. All those times that he was able to see the angels and he was able to see what the angels did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And all these stories he was speaking, I'm sure, to Isaac about all these things. And then we get to Genesis 22. Isaac shows us exactly the kind of father Abraham was. Here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the land? Isaac knew how to worship God. Parents, fathers especially, are we giving our children an example worth following? An example is given every day, one way or the other. But we have to make sure the example is worth following. If we get in the car after services and we complain about the song choice, we complain about the sermon topic, what do you think children are hearing? If we complain about Bible classes, if we complain about the teacher, what do you think children are hearing? And then we wonder why 7 out of 10 people are leaving church today. Well, because mom and dad maybe weren't giving the best example. I'm guilty. Sometimes I don't like preaching. But it goes beyond that. Are we giving them a daily example to follow every day? Are they seeing us open God's Word every day? Are they seeing fathers especially be the head of the house, talking to God, praying to God daily? Are they seeing how we treat people with kindness outside of the walls of the church? Are they seeing a calm and gentle spirit? Are they seeing all these things that the Bible tells us we should be? Are they seeing a light to the world, shining bright for Jesus, bringing other people to His name, honoring Him in everything we do? We need to give them an example worth following. Teach them how to worship God. Another thing I think we see from Abraham, another promise we need to make to our families, is we need to be able to tell them, I promise, to always lead our household the way God wants me to. I want you to notice something about what's said here. I promise to always lead our household the way God wants me to. This promise does not say, I promise to always lead our household the way you want me to. Or the way your friends want me to. But it's the way God wants me to. Something that was pointed out to me recently that I had never considered before. This was actually from a preacher friend of mine. I've heard him give a lesson on this, and I've never considered this point I'm about to give you. But it's been noted, and it's noted twice here in the story that we read, that when Abraham took his son, Isaac and Abraham did not go on this journey alone. I knew that there were always people with them, but do you notice what kind of people went with them? In verse 3 it says, they saddled the donkey and they took two of his young men with him. And as they went on this journey, there was two young men with Abraham and Isaac making this journey. Some have noted that these could have been friends. Now, this is speculation, I understand. These could have been friends of Isaac. Other young men that maybe Isaac had grown close to, that they were fond of Isaac, and Isaac was fond of them. And I believe there's a reason to believe that, because as they get to the place, they're just a little ways away from where God showed them to go up onto this mountain. You notice what Abraham did. Abraham told these two, and the text reminds us, these two young men, you stay here. We're going alone. Have you ever thought about why that was added to the story? Could it be that Abraham knew that these two young men, once they saw what was going on, once they started putting two and two together, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice, we're getting closer to the spot of the sacrifice, there's still no lamb. What's Abraham thinking he's going to do here? Could it be that these two young men would try to intervene for their friend Isaac? Could it be that these two young men would talk Abraham out of doing the one thing God asked him to do, to go to this place and sacrifice his son? Could it be that these two young men could have started whispering in Isaac's ear, don't follow your father. He is off his rocker. He's a lunatic. Notice there's no lamb. Could it be these two young men could have done one of the most horrible things and pull Isaac and maybe even Abraham away from following God? It might be. Whatever the situation, Abraham was taking no chances. Following God's word was the most important thing to Abraham. And so Abraham did something that a lot of parents have maybe had to do. I haven't had to do it yet, but I know my day will come. Abraham withdrew himself and his son Isaac from a situation that would distract him from following God. He knew what God's will was, what God wanted from him. Take your son, sacrifice him, your only son. That's what God expected. Was it hard? Absolutely. Was it difficult? Yes. Would it be painful to do and to watch in the days that follow? Can you imagine the conversation with Sarah as he comes home without his son? It was going to be extremely difficult. But I believe Abraham saw something here, that these two young men, they had to stay. Because if they could overpower Abraham or draw him away from following God, Abraham was withdrawing himself from that circumstance. Parents, there will be times when the difficult time will arise, where it is best to withdraw ourselves or withdraw our children from a situation that will distract them from following God. It might be a group of friends. It might be the way they dress. It might be the words they're using. It might be the sport they're playing. Whatever the situation is, there will come a time where you will have to make a decision, especially the dads as the head of the household, what is best for the kingdom of God. But see, we haven't been trained to think like that. We've been trained to think, what is best for my child? In reading a book by a famous author, Dr. James Dobson, he says, we must get back to parenting in America the way God intended it to be. That is God-centered parenting, not child-centered parenting. So many problems can be traced back to whatever the child wants. But it's time that we make the decision, we make the promise to say, it's not what you want, it's not what I want, it is what God wants. And I promise to leave this home the way God wants me to. Let me say a note to children for a second and our young people to continue on with some things we spoke of last week. I don't think there's any young person in here today. Even if you're visiting with us, I might not know your family, but I think I know one thing. There's not one person, young person in here today whose parent does not love them and wants them to worship God. May I suggest to you that there is a reason why mom and dad sometimes have to say no. Why mom and dad sometimes have to put their foot down and be unpopular. Can I suggest to our young people and to our parents, parents are not there to be a friend. That might happen later in life, but they are there to be mom and to be dad. They have been given a great responsibility by God to raise up the young people, to raise children, to honor and worship God first. There will be times where they will be unpopular, but they are doing it because they want you to follow them. We are blessed in this congregation with so many fathers. Several wonderful fathers at this congregation. We are also blessed with people in this audience who maybe don't have a father, whether they passed on or they left the home. I think it's time, whether we're male or female, young or old, self-evaluate where we are biblically. Make a promise to yourself. If you feel like you didn't have that biblical father in your home, make a promise to yourself that you will become one. Or a biblical mother, because those principles still apply to our, the women here today. Fathers, if we feel like, because I don't think I'm speaking to many fathers, if any fathers who are absent, or else they wouldn't be here, obviously. But fathers, if you're sitting here today thinking that you have not given God your best, it's time to make these promises to yourself, to make these promises to God, and to make these promises to our families. Let me say that no one will be perfect in this journey. I think I make mistakes on a daily basis. But we can't strive to do what God wants us to do. We can make a promise, these promises, to God, to ourselves, and to our family. And we can try to reach them every day. And here's the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father, is that we know when we mess up, when we fall short, when we don't fulfill our biblical role of fatherhood or motherhood or whatever it is in life that we're trying to fulfill, when we don't live the way God wants us to, He offers forgiveness. Now is the time, fathers, to self-evaluate. Ask for forgiveness. Put that stake in the ground. Say, from here on out, I'm not going back to who I was. I'm going to make promises to be better. Young women in the audience, I hope that what I was able to do for you today is you to see what a biblical father should look like. Strive for a biblical father, a biblical spouse. We've looked at, and this is our neat little bow to tie up our month-long service, or series on the family. But we should all strive to be who God wants us to be. Whether mother or father, child or parent, grandparent, husband or wife, or even just a member of this church family here. It's time we make a promise to be better, to serve God, and to do things the way God wants it to be done. You know, one thing I find interesting about this story as we close our lesson this morning, is twice, I mentioned this at the very beginning, but twice, God reminds Abraham, take your son, your only son. You know, God wasn't willing to ask anybody to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself. It took several years. But what God did was something that he never asked Abraham to do, and that was actually take the life of his son. God sent His Son, His only Son, so that you and I could have hope and eternal life. God sacrificed His Son so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins, so that you and I could be washed clean of all those things that are in our past that we're not happy about. God has loved us so much that He sent His only Son to carry His own wood, just like Isaac had carried it. To go up on a mountain, just like Isaac had to go up on a mountain. And to be sacrificed. God stopped Abraham before it happened to Isaac. But Jesus went through so that you and I can have hope and can have life. Do you need to come to Jesus today? Do you need to sacrifice yourself? That's what He asks us to do. To give our life to Him in the waters of baptism. Repent. Change your heart. And start living as the light of the world. If there's something we can do for you this morning, of course, we stand as we sing.